for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday evening, August the 29th, 2003. Labor Day weekend, teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Null is the teacher.
Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord. Lord, we just ask for release now of your anointed word, Lord. That your word will come forth, Lord. Touch our hearts, Lord. That you, by your grace, will give us understanding, Lord. That this word will fall on good soil and produce a crop 30, 60, 100 fold. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. I wanted to talk to you today about the keys to the kingdom of God. But before I try to do that, I need to lay some background. Now, first, there are two kingdoms, as I understand it. There's the kingdom of God that's spoken of in Romans 14:17 that says, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. What Paul was saying there, he'd been talking about people, about diet. And he said the kingdom of God was not a matter of a bunch of rules, of trying to keep the law without the grace of God. The kingdom of God was the righteousness obtained, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, having the peace of God in your heart and the joy of the Lord as your strength. He told the disciples that the kingdom, in Luke 17:21, he said, the kingdom of God is within you or among you. It's with you. And so, as we start to seek the kingdom, we find that there's an opposition, that we have an enemy who will oppose us. And this enemy is named Satan. He's, in Revelation 12, he's called the dragon of old. That ancient dragon, Satan, or the devil, who deceives the whole world. And so, we have an enemy. His name is Satan. I won't try to go into all the history, because if I get into that, I won't get out for an hour. But it's all in the Bible. But Satan was an anointed cherub who, in Ezekiel 28, it says, he led the praise on the holy mountain, and he walked among the fiery stones. And what are the fiery stones? They're cherubim. They are described in Ezekiel chapter 1. And he was beautiful, perfect in wisdom and knowledge in the day he was created. And he wore a covering of all the precious stones. But iniquity was found in him, because Timothy tells you that he was lifted up in pride because he was so beautiful. And he, by talking, by merchandising, which is from the same Hebrew word that comes from tale-bearing, it means to sell by talking, he caused a number of the angels to fall with him. Most Bible commentators believe one-third. And so he established a shadow kingdom in the second heaven. Now, there are three heavens. Corinthians, Paul tells you in Corinthians that I know a man once who went to the third heaven, the paradise of God. Well, there's a third heaven, there's a second heaven, and a first heaven.
Amen.
The first heaven is the visible heavens that you see. The second heaven is the domain of Satan's headquarters. And the third heaven is God's paradise of God. Now, we know that from Daniel,
that when Daniel was praying and asked for God to send a messenger to explain things to him, that he was fasting. He fasted 21 days, and then Gabriel appeared to him. And Gabriel said, I started out the first day you began to pray, but the prince of Persia withstood me, and I had to get Michael the archangel to come and help me to break through, to bring this answer to you. And so he was coming through the second heaven where the evil angels are. Isaiah 35 speaks a highway of holiness, and that is the highway that goes up from Sheol to the third heaven. It says that no beast, wild beast, will be there, but the redeemed, the Lord, will walk there. And that's the way you go up to the third heaven, is on that highway of holiness through the second heaven, where Satan cannot bother you on that road. I just threw that in. That's just stuff. That's in, but you'll find that in Isaiah 35. Well, and so Satan, so you're at war with Satan. Paul tells Timothy, open your Bibles to 1 Timothy 1:18. It says here, he says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:18, he said, This charge or command I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage a good warfare. So he's telling Timothy to fight. Now let's look at 1 Timothy 6:12. He says, Fight the good fight of faith. Hold on to eternal life to which you were called and have confessed in the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Now look at 2 Timothy 2:3-4. Therefore you must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So he speaks of Timothy as a soldier in the army of God. And when you got saved, you all enlisted. Now how long is your enlistment period? Now, during World War II, they drafted all the eligible males and said, how long are you in for? He said, I'm in for the duration. I'm in till it's over. Well, I'm going to tell you, when you enlisted in the Army of God, you enlisted for the duration, because Ecclesiastes chapter 8 tells you there's no discharge. Let's look in Ecclesiastes. That's Psalms, Proverbs, Song of Solomon. I mean, Ecclesiastes is after Proverbs, before the Song of Solomon. And look in chapter 8, verse 8. No one has power over the spirit to retain the spirit. No one has power on the day of death. There is no discharge in that war. Jesus came that he might destroy him who had the power of death. For all your life you've been in bondage to fear of death. And Jesus came that he might set you free. The devil wants to bring you back. And so you got to fight against that. And there's no discharge from it until you cast off this earthly tent and go into the presence of God. But then you're going to come back with him, because Revelation shows him, portrays Jesus Christ riding the white horse, clothed in the garment dipped in blood, and on his thighs written the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings and the Word of God. So he's going to lead you back to fight. So you're in the army. Well, what kind of army are you opposing? What kind of army? What is your enemy? One of the first things they teach you before you go to war is they teach you how to use your weapon, and they teach you who your enemy is. And you have to learn all you can about your enemy, because you can't shoot him until you can find him. So you got to know how to use your weapons, and you got to know who your enemy is. And I'm talking about who your enemy is today. Your enemy's the devil. You know, I get people tell me, I don't like to talk about the devil. I don't like to give him any glory. I just like to ignore him. I said, and he really appreciates it. He really appreciates it. I prefer to believe he don't exist. Well, he appreciates that too. He can work unfettered that way. He can work unfettered in your life. Well, how does he work? The devil is a created entity. He can only be at one place at one time. He is an angel that fell. You know, lots of times people ask you, why did God create the devil? Well, God didn't create the devil. He created a beautiful angel named Lucifer who fell from grace, who wanted to be like God. He said, I will ascend. I will place my throne on the north. I shall be like the Most High. Now, he got in a fight with God, and he lost. He knows he can't whoop God. So, he says, You know, there was a young lady who was engaged to a man in World War II who went off to war. And she wrote him a letter every day, and he wrote her back every day. There was an exchange of letters every day. She had a letter from him, and he had a letter from her. And then his letters started spacing out a little bit. And then there was a period she didn't get one. Then she got a letter told him that he had found someone else. She got a Dear John letter from him. He found someone else. Goodbye. And she got so upset, man. She just got upset. And she went home, and she took his picture off the mantle, and she threw it on the wall, and she stomped on it. And she couldn't touch him, but she could touch his image. And then she took it out of the picture, and she put it on the parrot cage. Put it in the bottom of the parrot cage to the newspaper. And you know, the devil can't touch God, but he can touch who is created in his image. It says, you were created in the image and likeness of God. And that word image in the Hebrew has come down to modern Hebrew to have your photograph taken. That's what that word means in modern Hebrew, to have your picture taken. You look just like God. God, the devil can't touch God, but he wants to stomp on you and put you in the bottom of the parrot cage. That's right. He wants to kill you as slowly and as painfully and as despicably as possible. He is evil. He hates you. And he wants to destroy you. And he wants to destroy everything you love. That's who you're fighting, people. You can't make a deal with him. He's a liar, the father of lies. Lying is his native language. How do you know he's lying? His lips are moving. Demons talk to you. How you know they're lying? They're talking to you. And so the devil is a created entity. And so how can he know, how can he worry about Billy Null down here when Billy, there's a 4 billion people on this earth? How can he know about Billy? You know, he can't be everywhere at once. God is omnipresent. He's omnipotent. And he's omniscient. He knows everything. He's everywhere. And he sees everything, and he has all power. The devil doesn't do that. He is one person. He's very powerful. Don't misunderstand me. He's very powerful. I hear people say the devil is a toothless liar. Oh, I see some folks, he gum in mighty hard, man. Now, if you are under the wing of God, you're under the wing right here. Find shelter under his wings. The devil can't touch you. Unless God says, have you noticed my servant John over there? Yeah, he's a righteous man. And the devil said, yeah, you build a hedge around him, won't let me touch him. Okay. So you let me touch his flesh, but you let me touch him, take everything you've given him away from him, boy, he'll curse you to your face. The devil said, okay, do that, but you can't touch his body. He said, Simon, Simon, the devil has requested permission to sift you all. He's talking to all the apostles now. The word there is plural you, not singular, ye. Or the is the singular, I'm sorry. He said, the is singular. He didn't say, Simon, Simon, the devil has asked permission to sift thee. He said, Simon, Simon. The devil has permission, asked permission to sift all of you. But Simon, I prayed for thee that your faith won't fail. And when you come back, then you strengthen your brothers. Have y'all ever heard it talk that way? Look it up in the Bible. You'll find that's the way it is in the old King James. The new King James and all the new translations, There is no second person plural. But in Old English, in Elizabethan English, there's thee and ye and thou and thine. And those are first person and second person. I'm sorry. There's second person, singular, and plural. And there is a second person, singular, and plural in the Greek. And his other place, he said to him, all of you will be offended by me and be scattered. Peter said, even if I have to die with you, I won't. He said, by Peter 3, though you pull the clock close 3 times, you're going to deny me. I will never deny you, and so said they all. That's in Mark. Okay, let's go on. And so where does the enemy have his headquarters? He has it in, let's look in Ephesians chapter 6, 10 to 12. Now, I interpret this a little differently from most people. And if I upset you with my interpretation, I apologize. But this is the way I see it. Verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. The Living Bible says against people against creatures with bodies. We don't wrestle against people with physical bodies. We wrestle against demons who have spiritual bodies, or evil angels who have spiritual bodies. Okay. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Isn't that interesting? That your enemy doesn't have flesh and blood. Your enemy is not your Christian brother who insults you. Your enemy is not your boss who is sarcastic and nasty to you. Your enemy is not your wife who you get bitter with because she spent all your money. Or your husband because he went and bought something foolish that you didn't need. That's not your enemy. Your enemy is the devil who is influencing them to do these things. Always remember that your enemy is the devil, and he wants to kill you. Okay, let's see. It's not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. That's better interpreted as authorities. The word there is not dunamis. It's exousia, which means authority. Dunamis, both of those words in the King James, are translated power. Dunamis means the raw power of God. That's the word from which we get dynamite, from dynamo. Exousia is the authority to use it. You all have resting in you the raw power of God. You all have received, when you receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit, you receive power from on high. He said, wait there until you receive power. The authority to use it. Cut the switch on and off. God will give you just as much authority as he can trust you with. He would like to give, Jesus said, I have all authorities been given to me. Okay. So it's authorities. And so the devil has authority. Evil spirits have authority against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age. That word is kamamutus. It means earthbound demons, earthbound spirits. The powers of darkness on this earth. And against spiritual host. That word host means an army of wickedness in the heavens, in the second heaven. And so what we have principalities. Now a principality is an authority, is a prince and the area of his authority. Prince Reina rules Monaco. That's one of the few principalities that we have left. There's another one up near Luxembourg, but I can't remember its name. There's this rule by prince, and he has an area of authority. And so these evil angels are princes, and that's what they're called in Daniel. They're called princes, and then they're called kings. Those under them are called kings, according to Daniel. And so you have this evil prince, an evil angel, who's a principality, and he has an area of authority that's been granted to him for which he is responsible. Now, the word is archos in the Greek, and it means a descending order of authority. So he is the field marshal, and he has got so many generals under him, and they got so many full colonels, and then they got so many lieutenant colonels and majors and captains and lieutenants and sergeants and buck brackets. They got a massive army, and he is assigned to each one of you spirits to your family. That's the reason certain traits run in families. They say, gosh, you know, I can't help it that I'm stubborn. My family's always been stubborn. That just runs in my family. That's part of being a Jones, you know. We're just stubborn. Yeah, that's an evil spirit assigned to your family. My family has heart attacks. My family has strokes. My family has diabetes. My family has arthritis. Again, these evil spirits that are assigned to your family. Where does it say that? We get a hint of it in Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Open your books to Ecclesiastes chapter 10. We go back to Ecclesiastes after Proverbs now. My mother used to quote this to me all the time, but I didn't know she was quoting the Bible. I'd come in and she'd say, Billy, is there anything you want to tell me about? My little birdie told me something. You something you want to talk about? I made the mistake of once of confessing, you know. It's just very interesting. But that wasn't what the little birdie told me. After that, I never confessed anything. Well, they had little birdies all over town, man. You couldn't get away with anything. And this is what this says. Ecclesiastes 10:20 says, do not curse the king even in your thought. That's an interesting verse, isn't it? Do not curse the king. How many of y'all curse President Clinton? I mean, had bad thoughts about that. I'm not talking about said bad things, just thought bad things. I'd do a lot of repenting when he was pressed. I had to do a lot of repenting because all authority emanates from God. You know, the day in 1992, I was standing against the polls and I was praying and I was fasting and praying at home and that week, and I just refused to believe the polls. I just said, that's just the media spin, and that's not going to happen. This nation's not going to do that. And the pastor's wife asked me, what's going to happen, Doc? And I said, I don't know. God didn't show me. And I went home, and I was fasting and praying, and I said, God, what is going to happen? He said, you're going to get what you deserve. I said, oh, Lord, don't do that to us. Give us grace, Lord. Don't do that to us. Oh, give us what we deserve. And we got what we deserved. But nevertheless, I prayed for salvation every day. And I repented several times a day for saying bad things or having bad thoughts. And I developed real compassion for the man. I developed real compassion for him. I felt very sorry for him in the end. I do today. I feel very sorry for his family, for his daughter. I still pray for him. I pray for our president. Somebody said to me, somebody got up in one of the meetings and said, I'm having real trouble with this president because he won't do the things he's supposed to. He won't take a strong stand for against abortion. He won't take a strong stand here and there. He won't appoint these judges while this Congress is in recess. And I said, don't curse the king, even in your thoughts. Don't speak evil of the leader of your people, Paul said. Don't speak evil. Pray for the man. Pray that God will give him the wisdom to follow God. God knows what he's doing. God knows that the will of God will come to pass. For remember, it is the will of God that no one, he desires not the death of a sinner, but he should turn from his sin and live, it says in Ezekiel and Jeremiah. Jeremiah wept. He wept all. He was called the weeping prophet because he wept for the people, because he knew what was going to happen to them. And he had compassion. He had God's compassion flowing through him, and he wept 4. Okay. Let's look here. Do not curse the rich, even in your bedroom, for the bird of the air may carry your voice. And that bird there, that is not a little chirping bird like you normally see. That term is is literally a flying thing. It's spoken of in Ezekiel 13, where witches are capturing part of your soul. They capture part of your soul like they do a flying thing, like they do a demon. So, and the bird in flight may tell the matter. So what's happened is, when you speak it out, the devil has got familiar spirits around you, writing down, recording everything you say, and they send it up the chain of command, and they'd record in the second heaven in the books. They have a shadow government up there. God has got books. He got the book of life and other books, and these books will be open, and you will stand in judgment for every idle word you have ever said that has not been placed on the blood of Jesus. Everything's recorded. I know. I had a vision of it once. God told me I said that, and I don't want to say that. And he said, run that tape by for him again. You know, the word book, that the books are open, it means the scrolls. And it looked, I saw a big scroll of electromagnetic tape, and there on the great television set in the sky, there I was, and that was coming out of my mouth. I was convicted by my own words. Put your sin. Be quick to repent and confess your sin and put them on the blood of Jesus. For it is the bulk eraser that will erase the tape. But the devil's got our tapes too. And he keeps record, very records. He's a legalist. Now you're talking about a legalist. The devil is a legalist. Derek Prince tells a story of a man who inherited some money. Friend of his. And somebody in the family got bent out of shape because they didn't get as much as they thought they ought to. Now you got to understand that that money was legally his friend's the day the will was read. It was legally his. But it was 7 years before he was able to claim it because that lawyer pulled every dirty trick in the book to keep him from even claiming his inheritance. And the devil will pull every legal, dirty trick in the book to keep you from claiming your inheritance in Jesus Christ. And that's what the fight is all about. Your inheritance. What's been willed to you by Jesus Christ in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, in the New Will. Your rights. The devil wants to steal them from you. And so, he keeps all your sins recorded. And when you put them on the blood of Jesus and confess them, the Holy Spirit has forgotten about them. He says, your sins and iniquities I will remember no more. I won't remember them to you. So when it comes back up into your mind, just remember, it's not the Holy Spirit's bringing them up, it's the devil. Putting you under condemnation. He tempts you to do it, and then he condemns you for it. You know, you don't play fair. Now, and so, those are the two things. The word familiar spirit does not appear in the New Testament. It only appears in the Old Testament. And I struggled with that because I was trying to understand the term familiar spirit and how it was used. And I couldn't, I just couldn't get a handle for a definition of it. I knew that people who told fortunes, fortune tellers, people who were mediums, people who were clairvoyant, people who had precognition, all these terms, occult terms. They all had a familiar spirit, but I didn't understand it. Like to say they had a familiar spirit, just people say, what is that? And you're stuck. And I said, Lord, show me what you mean by familiar spirit. Explain to me why it is not in the New Testament, just in the Old Testament. I was fasting and praying, and I was getting ready to go to bed. And I had cut the light out, and a voice came out of the darkness. It said, "A familiar spirit is." And I said, "You acknowledge Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has come in the flesh. Acknowledge you to be gone from me." And the voice said, "Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of God, has come in the flesh, and he is my Lord." A familiar spirit is. Familiar spirit is twofold. First, a familiar spirit is a spirit through that you are familiar with, through which you can manifest supernatural power. It's a spirit that you know, that you're familiar with, and through that spirit you can manifest supernatural power. A witch doctor can kill people with it, or he can heal people with it. He can steal your soul. He can put foreign soul in you. If he's got a legal rights to you, if you're in sin, so that's the first one. The second one is a spirit who is familiar with you, who's assigned to your family and is familiar with you. I said, why is it just in the Old Testament? And then he made me understand that this did not come in the voice form, but I had immediate understanding of it. It was transmitted through spiritually. You see, a spirit, if you hear noises of grinding of chains in your house and you wonder if those are demons, get a tape recorder and cut it on. If it records on a tape recorder, it is not a spirit sound. It's not a spirit sound. It won't record on a tape because it does not depend on airwaves. You call the parapsychology department at Duke University, they'll tell you that. People tell me they're having strange noises in the house. I said, fine, get a tape recorder and see if it'll tape. If it tapes, it's not a demon. Now, I've heard some strange sounds. I've had polygraphs in my house. I've had them drop books. I've had them do all sorts of things. And I think the book falling ought to make a sound. Okay, now where was I? Okay. I said, why does it not in the New Testament? He said, in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God was only poured out on recognized prophets that were called of God. Anyone else who manifested supernatural power was said to have a familiar spirit and was stoned. Only the recognized prophets of God had the Spirit of God upon them. In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is poured out on all of you. All of you have a familiar spirit through whom you can manifest supernatural power, and that is the Holy Spirit. Now, there are counterfeits out there. There are religious spirits that pretend to be the Holy Spirit. Not everything you hear as prophecy in a church comes from the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, about 80% of what you hear is generally rubbish. Now, I can teach you for an hour on how you tell the difference, the counterfeit from the real. And lots of times, you know, it's not necessarily a demon. Sometimes it's just people prophesy of their own hearts, something they want so bad, or they want to see in this church so bad. They will get up and prophesy their own heart. Now, it's nothing scripturally wrong with it. It's just not from God. But we're getting away from the unseen kingdom. And so you have this vast army of demons out there. Now, the demons move through sin. You have sin within you. Romans chapter 5 says, Paul says, let's look at that. Chapter 6, verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign or rule in your mortal body that you should obey its lust. Sin lives in your mortal body. It's within you. Now, it is a willful reasoning force. Now, most Bible translations and most pastors will tell you it is a sinful nature. I don't agree with that. I think it's a demon. But it doesn't matter what we call it. It's there. And you obey the lust of the flesh, the sinful desires of the lust of the flesh. Okay? And then you have sin without. And the devil can manipulate that lust within you. He can speak to it. He can put thoughts in your mind to make you want to yield to it. He can affect your mind. Now it says he can put thoughts in your mind. John says, the devil having placed in the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray Jesus. Now you're all familiar with that verse. The devil put that thought in Judas' mind. Now, Judas was a son of perdition. He was a thief. He kept the money bag and helped and stole out of it all the time. But the devil put in his mind the thought to betray Jesus. He steals thoughts out of your mind. The parable of the sower says when the word falls on hard soil and you don't understand it, the devil will come and steal it. That's the birds who came and ate the seed. Read it. And all three of them, all three synoptic gospels, and they all say the same thing. The devil will come and steal it if you don't understand it. Okay. And so we have this army. The devil is manipulating people around you. He gets your boss upset, and your boss come cuss you out. He gets your wife upset, and you come home. And your wife jump on you like white on rice, man. Ooh, you just... Instead of putting your arms around and say, I love you, honey, I'm sorry you upset. What can I do to help? Man, you say, what right you got to jump on me? I'm hot. I'm tired. I've been working all day. I've been working hard down there all day. What you jump on me for now? You come do what your wife do all day, and you be say, after about a week, you say, honey, I get to go back to work. You see, man works from sun to sun. Woman's work ain't never done. But, and on it goes. He will affect people around you. Very few things happen by accident. I don't think anything happens by accident. I think it's all manipulated by evil spirits. Now, some folks say I'm giving the devil too much credit. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You know, they say about that old boy over there, said, you know, he's in deliverance. He sees a demon behind every bush and under every tree. And I tell you, God opened my eyes. When I first got called to deliverance ministry, I was a proud physician. I don't do that, man. Have folks look at me like I'm crazy. I don't have folks whispering behind my back. I said, shh. And God said, you're going to cast out demons. And Brother Glenn, he laid his hands on me and prayed I'd get the discerning spirits. I went home, and you know, something clicked in my, like cut the switch on. I was listening to a prophecy, listening to the tape, praise, and I heard a prophecy. And so I said, that is the voice of God. That is the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking through that man. It just hit me. And then I looked out, man, I saw demons everywhere. Man, there were three or four under every rock and behind every tree. I never seen so many of them. That went on for 3 weeks. 3 whole weeks I walked around. Everywhere I looked were demons. Man, there were demons everywhere. And I go on to where I saw most of them. I could talk about it for a while, but I won't. But I thought I was going crazy. I literally thought that I had flipped out. And I went to a prayer meeting after about 3 weeks, and I fell on the floor, and I just began to weep to God, and I said, God, what is happening to me? What's happening, Lord? I said, I don't understand what's happening. Help me. And the prayer group leader was at his house, sat up and began to prophesy. I was laying there on the floor crying out to God. Other people had been come in. They said, what's wrong? I said, oh, no, he just fell on his face. And so they all got down and began to pray. And he sat up, and he said, I have called you to a ministry, and I've given you a gift, and I expect you to be obedient and follow it. He said, it mean anything about you? I said, yeah, that means something to me. And I died that day. I said, Lord, I'll go where you say go. I'll do what you say do. I don't care what anybody says about me. I'll follow you the rest of my life. I'll be obedient. And I don't care what happens. Well, don't you think that the devil didn't, that I didn't get tested on that. I did that 2 weeks later. I cast out a demon in the emergency room of the hospital. I mean, man, I tell you, it was, I mean, that was this demon boy, and they had him in the emergency room, and they had him on a gantry. They had four folks holding this poor little boy, friend of mine, you know. And I went in and asked him what happened to him. He told me this, the evil fools had gotten into him, and he'd taken a stake, turned on one of them two folk there, and he juked him in the self, in the throat about 15 times. He's all swollen out and bleeding. And I heard my beautiful voice, and at that time, this demon started speaking out of him. And he raised up and tried to bite me like a dog, and these four orderlies going, don't get him stirred up, Doc. No, he's strong when he gets stirred up. Okay, y'all hold on. Yeah, any more snickers. They put my anointing oil in the narcotics box, and when they had a bad case, they called me to come down and anoint them. And we had more miracles than you've ever seen until we got the emergency room doctor, and now he felt like I was stealing his cases, and they didn't call me anymore. And the two fear-filled nurses retired. I'm the only one left alive that saw that now, except that the surgeon who was standing there, and he looked at it, and he said, I don't believe that. He's an atheist. I don't believe that. I will not believe that. That did not happen. That did not. And he walked out of the hospital saying, I will not believe it. The devil stole it from him. He didn't understand it. The devil just stole it right out of him. He walked out of there saying, it didn't happen. To this day, he doesn't believe it happened, although he saw it with his own eyes. I don't know why I got into that. But I tell you, I'm here today because God called me. Now, I won't say I didn't have any more tribulations. In this life, you will have tribulations. In this life, Jesus said, in this life, you will have tribulations. You will be offended. Paul said, through much tribulation, you'll enter the kingdom of God. You know, I ain't even got to what I want to talk about. I'm just trying to lay the groundwork right now. How do you respond to offenses when somebody offends you? Do you react in anger? Or do you respond in love? You say, honey, I am so sorry I made a mistake. I realize it was a dumb move for me to buy this thing. We don't really need it. So I'm going to take it back in the morning and get our money back. Honey, I don't know what happened. Tell me what's happened today. Why are you so upset? Let's see if we can't make it right. Let's don't fight. I mean, respond in love. I'm sorry I did that. You might not have done anything, but I'm sorry. Will you please forgive me? A lady write me this sarcastic letter on one of my tapes. We were talking about the spoken word, and I was talking about people had lying spirits. And she wrote me this sarcastic letter. And she said, I may have told a few, and underlined it. Small white lies. But I dare you say all lies are going to hell. Now, I didn't say that. That's what the Bible said. Revelation said, and all who's going to be cast in the fire pit, all lies, it says, all lies. And man, she went on and on and on, and she said, I want my money back. So I put a $10 bill in that letter, and I wrote it back, and I said, I am terribly sorry I offended you. I am sorry that the Word of God has offended you. Please accept your $10 back and give the tape to someone who might appreciate it. Love, Bill Moe. And I sent it back to her. She never answered me.
Well, she didn't pay you for the tape anyway.
That's fine. Make any difference. I just would not pick up that offense. I just tried to settle it, to be at peace with that lady, because I had really touched a button The Holy Spirit had touched a button. Maybe Holy Spirit bring her to repentance. It whole, to be delivered from fear, and so forth. Okay. And so now, realizing that around you, there's an invisible army that is constantly attacking you, constantly attacking your family. The only right they have to touch you is through sin. Sin of your fathers or your sin. And all these sins have been recorded up in the heavens. And those that you hadn't put on the blood, they got a legal right. Those that you have, they come and try to make you think they got a legal right. He's toothless in that area if you stand on your legal rights. Okay, let's look at Matthew. Okay, Matthew 16:19. Here, Jesus is talking to Peter. He talked to his disciples and said, who do men say I am? And they said, some say you're a prophet and so forth. And Peter said, you are the Son of God. And he said, Peter, Simon, flesh and blood didn't tell you that. My Father in heaven did. And on that revelation, on that rock, that revelation, I'm going to build my church. And the gates of Hades shall not stand against it. And I will give to thee, singularly, a single person, the keys to the kingdom of God. Whatever you bind on this earth will have been bound in heaven. And whatever you loosen on earth will have been loosened in heaven. What does that mean? He said, I'm going to give to an individual person the legal right to bind the enemy in the area of his responsibility. Now, the word bind means to tie up with chains. One morning I awoke. I was getting ready to come down to camp meeting. And I felt like I had a sack of flour sitting on my chest. And I opened my eyes, and there was this big cobra snake sitting on my chest. I mean, it just is just as real as this lady. It's just, I mean, it was just, and I look at that thing, and it was a weaving back. It was all hooded out. It was a weaving back and forth. Little tongue was coming out. Little beady eyes was looking at me, and I looked back at it. Being God's man of power and faith, I pulled the cover up over my head. I mean, it's fine to wake up and be staring eye to eye with a cobra snake now, all hooded out, you know. I mean, that's just... And the Holy Spirit said to me, in a very gentle, quiet voice, you can bind him. So I pulled the cover down just a little bit so I could peer out, and he's still there. Said, I bind you in the name of Jesus. And a hand came out with a shackle and a chain on it and put it on that button, and then another one here and another one here, and those chains tightened up, and man, they just wore that booger out of my bedroom. And I looked over at the door of my bedroom, and he coming in was a big old black widow spider. I had a belly as big as a washbowl and big old long black hairy legs. And one of my great fears when I was small was fear spiders. And I bind you in the name of Jesus. And again, same hands pulled him out. And I said, now what does all this mean? And so I came down here and I got Jim and Mildred Coffey, who are my prayer partners. And I said, and I told them about it. I said, let's pray. What does it mean? I said, I can interpret it, but I want to know what it means from God. And so we prayed. And that afternoon, Jim came over to me and said, God gave me an answer. You've been blessed. God allows you to see into the spirit what happens when you bind a demon. They actually tie him up with chains. That's what the word means. That's what the word says. That's what they actually do. They tie him up with chains. And God witnessed to me the 149th Psalm. So turn your Bible, open to your Bibles, keep your fingers here in Matthew, and go back to Psalms, to the 149th Psalm. The 149th Psalm says, starting with verse 6, Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the people, to bind their kings with chains, their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute the written judgment. This honor have all the saints. Praise you, the Lord. Praise you, the Lord means hallelujah. You shout, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I said, yeah. I said, well, Lord, why is it when I bind, when there's one of these evil, harassing spirits is speaking, pushing thoughts in my mind, and I'm pushing them out, and I say, I bind you, it doesn't stop. And so he gave me a vision. Here I was walking down the street, and there was this long line of demons walking beside me. All of them looked the same, and on a lockstep. And I'd bind one, the angels would tie him up and carry him off. Another one would step right up and never miss a lick and keep right on talking to me. And they'd bind him, and away he'd go, bind him, away he'd go. And God made me understand that the devil does not have an infinite number of truths. He's got a finite number, only so many. And once he loses 100 or so in a battle, he's going to say, you know, this ain't working too good. And he's going to leave you for a more opportune time, just like he did with Jesus. You know, he said the devil departed from him for a more opportune time. I mean, he ain't going to quit. He's going to come back. He's just going to move the mouse around on his computer and say, well, let's see, this wow or scheme worked against his grandfather. Let me try this on him. And he hits you another way. Praise God. And so you bind that evil spirit. And so you bind it. It means you're tied up. What does loose mean? Whatever you loose on this earth will have been loosed in heaven. Talking about the second heavens. You loose yourself from that thing. What is it? Well, that spirit of lust. I've confessed that. I put it under the blood. Therefore, it's been erased. Now, the word loose also means destroy. You know, it says in 1 John 4:4, it says, for this purpose the Son of Man was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Y'all all familiar with that verse. That's the same word as loose in the Greek. Same word. It can be translated as destroy. And what you're doing is you're destroying the legal grounds the enemy has to harass you. You bind the demon, and I loose myself from him. And all legal rights he's got. Maybe the Holy Spirit then will convict you of a sin. Some you've forgotten. Maybe you're angry with somebody. Maybe you took something wrong to you. Maybe you took a highlighter from work and carried it home so you could underline your Bible. You know, it's on your desk, say. You didn't think anything about it. You just put it in your pocket and you carried it home. You didn't pay for it. You stole it. It's only a 30-cent item. Did you pay for it when you left? No. Well, the devil's got a legal right to harass you. You're a thief before God. God will say. And you say, well, God. And so you take it back the next day and you put it back up on your desk and say, I repent in the name of Jesus Christ. God may have you tell your boss. It's, boss, you know, I took one of that home last night, and I had to bring it back. He laughed. But I'm going to tell you, that employee thief, theft, is something that really destroys companies. You should be the best employee your boss has got. I had a preacher who got fired for witnessing on the job. He said, oh, God, persecuted because I've been witnessing on the job. They fired me. And I happened to know the man he worked for. And he told me what he was doing. He was carrying his Bible to work. He wasn't working. He was spending all his day going around reading the Bible, stopping other folks from working, reading the Bible to them. And nobody could get any work done. And he wasn't putting in a lick of a snake. He wasn't hired to witness for those folks. He's hired to work for that man. He got fired. I said, no, you didn't get fired for that. You got fired because you're lazy. He didn't want to work. He took offense to me, I'm afraid. And he kept on with his tale that he got fired because he was a Christian witnessing on the job. He got fired because he's lazy and didn't want to work. Everybody else was working, stopping other folks from working. Praise your Lord Jesus. And so you loose yourself from that. You loose yourself. The Holy Spirit convicts you. You repent immediately. Keep a clear conscience before God. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Settle it. You know, the Hebrew, new day starts sun and sunset. So God said, don't let the sun, don't let a new day start. Don't go to bed mad. Go tell your wife you're sorry. Say, honey, whatever I can do to make it right. And so you pray. Okay, so this is given to you to pray in the area of your responsibility. Husbands, I'm going to say something to you. You are responsible for your family. You're responsible for your wife and your children. That is your God-given responsibility. God holds you responsible. And there is a day that you will stand before Him and give an account. You pray for your pastor? How many of y'all pray for your pastor regularly? Every day. Because he is going to have to stand before God. He sits up at night praying for you. It says so in the Bible right here. If he doesn't, he's going to have to give account to God. But that's between him and God. What you got to do is pray for him. That's between you and God. And God will hold you accountable for it. Look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Obey those who rule over you, lead you. Be submissive, for they watch out for your souls. That watch means to stay up at night and pray. Deny yourself sleep. As those who must give account, let them do so with joy, not with grief, for that would be unprofitable to you. Well, I say to you, you're going to account to God for your family. So you need to pray for them. You need to pray for your children. You need to claim them in the name of the Lord Jesus. You need to pray for them. You need to extend the covering of your wing over them. You need to not provoke your children to wrath. You need to love your wives. Scripture doesn't say your wife has to love you. It says you love your wife like Jesus loved the church enough to die for. Because God will hold you accountable. And He'll hold her accountable too. And one man said, don't he say in that book right there that she's supposed to be submissive to me and she's supposed to submit to me? I said, yeah. It says she's supposed to submit to you as in the Lord. You're not supposed to do anything that's unchristian. And she's supposed to pray. But I'm going to tell you this. You love your wife like Jesus loved the church. She'll submit to you. It says submitting one to another. And your wife is either one or the other. So that's another verse you can look at. It means you're supposed to come together as one flesh. Submitting one to another. You just when Worley said you built like the Mack truck. Your wife's built like a Toyota pickup. You're supposed to be out there in front. Taking all the hits. Protecting your wife and your children. Your wife is the finer vessel. You built like an iron mug. She's a piece of fine china. She's more fragile than you are. And so you pray for your wife and your children. You pray for your employees. You pray for your boss. You pray for the president. Those things God all commands. And you pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Now let's look over here. There's another place that talks about binding and loosening. Let's look at Matthew 18. And it starts with verse 15. It says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you've gained a brother. But if he won't hear you, take with you two or more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be there. If he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. If he refuses to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen or a tax collector. So he's talking about the church body here now. Well, surely I say to you, plural, whatever you, plurally, bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So the church body has an obligation to bind and loose. Again, I say to you, when two of you agree, symphonize, come together in the spirit, come into spiritual harmony on earth, concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. That is not a intellectual agreement. Honey, I got this check here for $100. Will you agree with me this check for $1,000? Yeah, honey, I agree. That check, $1,000. I've seen that on television. You know, it offended me. I don't know what it did to God. I mean, it offended the Holy Spirit within me something terrible. It is, the word is symphonized, from which we get our word symphony, which means to come into harmony. Come into spiritual harmony. It says, whenever two or three, okay, and where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Just remember this. When you come into spiritual harmony with the Holy Ghost, see, Derek Prince says that that can be interpreted when two or three are led together, implying they have a leader, the Holy Spirit. When you come into spiritual harmony with the Holy Spirit, when you get two or three believers who can come into spiritual harmony with the Holy Spirit, man, you can move hell on hinges. I mean, you can you can speak to that mountain and it's going to move. Because you come into that, you operate in the gift of faith. And whatever you say is the same as God saying it himself, and it carries the full authority to accomplish whatever it says. He says, my word will not depart from me void, but will not depart. The word that departs from my mouth shall not return to me void, but shall accomplish that which I've sent forth to do. It has a full spiritual authority. If you can come into spiritual harmony with you and another believer in the Holy Ghost in your life and the lives of believers around you. That's the reason a man and his wife are the most coming together in spiritual harmony, the most powerful spiritual cell we have. And you bind and you loose. And those are the people that bind the principalities over churches, bind principalities over nations, whatever God has called you to bind. You know, God gave me a burden for the prisoners in Russia. God called me as an assessor in 1982. And he gave me a burden for prisoners in Russia, you know. I think it was 82, may have been 81, I think it was 82. And I wrote Brother Andrew of the Open Doors Ministry and asked him if he had any names of any Christians that had been imprisoned in Russia for their faith. And he wrote me back and told me that he was forming the Jericho Force to pray, to start a 7-year cycle of prayer for Russia, to pull down communism, and to pray for Christians in prison. And there were 1,500 of us. We had 1,500 intercessors. And he sent me a Vita sheet. My first Vita sheet was Alexander Rika. He was a Catholic priest who had been put in jail, actually been put in an insane asylum, because his crime was that he taught little children about Jesus Christ. That's what he did. He taught little children about Jesus Christ. And they called him hopelessly insane, put him in a hospital and put him on dope and all these mind control drugs. And they told him he'd never get out. They put him in Siberia. It was 3,000 miles. The only person who could visit him was his aged mother. And she had to ride 3,000 miles on a train and she just couldn't make the trip. That was my prison. And so I put his through my Xerox machine, and I put a copy of it in my office in every examining room, in my bathroom there by the throne. I put it on my refrigerator door by my bed, and I pestered God to death about that man. 8 months later, I got a letter said that he was back in his church. They just turned him loose. I tell you, that did something for my faith. I wrote and told him I could pray for two or three folks. So I got two to pray for. Make a long story short, 7 years after we started the cycle of prayer, the Berlin Wall fell down. Now, you know, that was, the State Department didn't understand what happened. That was a complete shock to every diplomat in the world, that communism suddenly imploded. There were a number of prayer groups praying for it. There were a number of people in Germany. There were a number of people in Russia. There were a number of people all over this country. We weren't the only prayer group. But we combined together and we bound communism, the Antichrist spirit, and we loose salvation, supplication, grace. And suddenly the Berlin Wall fell down and the whole East Bloc and Russia were asking for Bibles. They were asking for people to come teach their children in school about Jesus Christ. They were asking, begging. That's what happens when you bind in the spirit, when people will come together and bind the strong man and pull him down. And that's what can happen in your family. When you bind, when you and your when your family comes together and you bind the strong man over your family, you bind the strong man of rejection, the strong man of alcoholism, the strong man of dope, the strong man of ADD over your son, over your child, the strong man of delayed or arrested development. That was an excellent talk that we had this afternoon. Now you bind those things. You bind the spirit of homosexuality over your son, over your niece, over your nephew. And you stand together and you bind it every day. And you stand in faith until you see it come down. Say, dear Lord, I love you.
Lord Jesus,
I repent of all my sin.
For the sins of my fathers.
I repent, Lord Jesus.
And I break
all the curses
that
have come down the family line.
Back
10, 20
generations.
In the name of Jesus.
And I loose myself
from all the curse
of the law.
For it is written,
Jesus was made a curse for me,
that I might be delivered
from the curse of the law.
I repent of my personal sin.
I ask forgiveness of the blood of Jesus.
I ask you to cleanse me.
Cleanse my conscience
from dead works.
To serve the living
God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I bind
rejection,
rebellion,
stubbornness,
and fear
in the name of Jesus.
I bind
greed,
idolatry,
whoredom,
returning evil for good.
I break the curses of these things.
And I loose myself from them.
In the name of Jesus.
I loose my family.
And I claim them.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
For it is written.
In Acts
16:31.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Ye shall be saved,
ye and your whole household.
I claim my household
in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Lord, I confess
that there are people
who've offended me,
that I'm angry with.
I confess it's a sin.
I forgive.
I repent from revenge.
In every case.
Lord, I ask you to bless my enemies.
Touch them and bring them to salvation.
Bless them in Jesus'
name.
Loose me, Lord,
from the legal rights.
For the torturers and tormentors.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, I
confess
that in the past,
I've had sinful thoughts.
I've had sinful thoughts.
In the sexual area.
In the sexual area.
I have sinned.
I have sinned.
I confess it as sin.
I confess it as sin.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I ask forgiveness.
I ask forgiveness.
And I ask that the curse be broken.
I ask that the curse be broken.
On me.
On me.
And my children forever.
I break
the curse of incest,
the curse of incest,
of adultery,
of illegitimacy,
back 30 generations,
in Jesus' name.
And I loose my children,
forever
from the curse,
in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Everybody sit down now. Now we're going to have a mass deliverance. For those of you who have never been in a mass deliverance, spirits of breath, a wind, they generally come out, cough or yawn, sometimes quietly, sometimes not so quietly. Now, you have to choose between keeping your demons and keeping your dignity. Let your demons go. You can get your dignity back. First time I got delivered, I right over here in the third row, four rows back, I threw up. It threw me in the floor, and I threw up and rolled in my vomitus. But you know something didn't bother me at all, because I got up and went to the shower, and I had put on fresh clothes, and I got free. Now, it's not often that sort of thing happens. But so if it does, don't worry about it. Everybody worry about their own demons. They ain't worried about yours. You concentrate on what I'm saying. I'm going to bind these things and command them out. And you just said you agree with me in your mind. Don't pray in tongues now. You can't give out and receive at the same time. And you can't, the demons ain't going to come out while you praying in tongues. While you praying. You just concentrate on your mind and agree with me and set your will against them and push them out. It's like having a baby. Push them out. Let them go. And let what happens happen. Okay? In the name of Jesus, I bind. Everybody put both feet on the floor and don't cross your knees. Remember when you were a little child, you said if you crossed your fingers, you didn't have to tell truth? Well, I didn't mean it. I had my fingers crossed, you know. I had my toes crossed. I had my knees crossed. That's a witchcraft sign. You cross your knees, the devil don't believe it. He says he ain't telling the truth. Look, he got his feet crossed. I said he's a legalist, you know. He'll use any legal excuse he can. So keep both feet on the floor. In the name of Jesus, I bind the spirits of rejection now over God's people. These are not rejected people. The Word of God says in Ephesians 1:6, says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace, whereby we have been made accepted in the Beloved. These are accepted of God. Rejection, I bind you now in Jesus' name. Come on out of that rejection. Rejection by mother, rejection by father, rejection by friends, by peers, by bosses, by fellow workers. I bind the spirit of rejection in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind fear of being rejected, fear of not being wanted, fear of not being loved, fear of not being good enough. In the name of Jesus, I bind fear. All the spirits of fear, fear of not being good enough, fear of not being wanted or loved, in the name of Jesus, I bind it in the name of Jesus Christ, and I break its power. I bind the Hittite spirit of fear now in Jesus' name. Fear, come out. Fear, He's not giving you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. God, He said, I did not give you a spirit of bondage again to fear, but a spirit of adoption whereby you cry, Abba, Father. You devils of fear, these people have been adopted by the Lord Jesus Christ. They are not rejected people. You are not in bondage to fear anymore. Fear of death, fear of not being loved, fear of not being wanted, fear of not being good enough. Come out in the name of Jesus. Fear of failure. Come out. Fear of the dark. Fear of spiders. Come out. All fear. All witchcraft fear. I bind you. Bondage to witchcraft fear. I bind you. And I command you to leave God's people now in the name of Jesus. All inferiority spirits, all the grasshopper spirits, come out. They said, we were like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we were like grasshoppers in their eyes. Grasshopper spirits, come out. All the spirits of inferiority, come out, not being good enough. In the name of Jesus, I bind you and I break your power in Jesus' name. Leave God's people, all spirits of tormenting spirits. It says the love of God doth drive out the spirit of tormenting spirits now. Tormenting spirits, come out. I'm not going to make it. I'm going to go broke. And my children are going to get sick. They're going to get killed. They're going to get killed in a car crash. Then come out in the name of Jesus. All you tormenting spirits in the name of Jesus that torments God's people. The love of God does drive out fear, for fear has torment. Come out, tormenting spirits, in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you and I break your power. And I command you to leave God's people now. Leave in Jesus' name. All spirits of perfectionism, come out, perfectionism. All spirits of heaviness, anxiety, fear in the heart causes depression. Come out, depression. Come out, spirits of heaviness and depression. Come out, heavy spirits. Heavy spirits, come out. Come out, spirits of being heavy, being solitude. Come out. Come out, depressed spirits. Come on out in the name of Jesus. Heavy spirits, come out. Fearful spirits, come out in the name of Jesus. I bind you and I break the spirit of fear in Jesus' name that causes heaviness. For God has given us a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness in the name of Jesus. I speak to the spirits of amnesia in the name of Jesus. I speak to all the spirits of amnesia, and I break the curse of amnesia. I break the curse of ADD. I break the curse of attention deficit disorder. I break the curse of learning disabilities and dyslexia, and I command those demons to leave. I command them to leave these people's families, to leave their children and their grandchildren in the name of Jesus. I command them to be gone, you witchcraft mind control that would control them. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bind you and I break your power in Jesus' name. I say, go. Go. Fear now. Fear of growing up. Fear of getting old. I bind you and I break your power. Fear of getting old in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you and I break your power. In the name of Jesus. Jesus bore all of our grief and all of our sorrow. That's all of our sickness and all of our pain. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon Him. And by His stripes we have been healed. And by His stripes we were healed. In the name of Jesus. And I speak to all headaches. I speak to all migraine headaches. I speak to all headaches. I speak to all nervous headaches. I speak to all pain in the head. And I bind you and command you to go. Go in the name of Jesus. I speak to all encephalitis in the name of Jesus. I speak to all encephalitis, all epilepsy, all brain disorders in the name of Jesus. I bind you and I break your power. I speak to the spirit of schizophrenia and I bind you. I speak to the spirit of paranoia and I bind you and I say, be gone out of God's people. Now leave them. I speak to all double-minded spirits and I bind you and I break your power. I speak to all alter personalities in the name of Jesus, and I say to you, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of their minds. Come out in the name of Jesus. I speak to all sinus trouble, all allergies in the name of Jesus. I bind allergies and sinus trouble and hay fever in the name of Jesus. I bind eye problems. I bind glaucoma in the name of Jesus. I bind cataracts in the name of Jesus. I bind blindness in Jesus' name. I speak to blind eyes. I say, be open in the name of Jesus. I bind optic atrophy in the name of Jesus, and I command it to be gone in Jesus' name. I speak to tinnitus in the ears. I speak to secretory otitis and otitis media and deafness. I bind them in the name of Jesus in the ears. I say, be open. Be opened in the name of Jesus Christ. Hear in Jesus' name. I bind dizziness. I bind Meniere syndrome. I bind vertigo and dizziness. And I bind it and I break its power and command it to be gone. I speak to all tonsillitis. I speak to all esophagitis. I speak to all laryngitis. I speak to all pneumonia. I speak to all bronchiectasis, all bronchitis, all asthma. And I bind you and I say, be gone in the name of Jesus. I speak to fear that would make hard men's hearts fail. I say, be gone. I speak to failing hearts and I say, be healed in Jesus' name.
Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be made whole. I speak to stomach ulcers in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak to gastric esophageal gastritis, esophagitis in the name of Jesus. Duodenal ulcers, Crohn's disease, enteritis, colitis in the name of Jesus. Ulcerative colitis, prostatitis. I bind you and I break your power. I speak to nephritis in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I speak to kidney infections, kidney failure. In the name of Jesus, I say kidneys line up with the Word of God. Be healed. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed. I speak to bladder problems. I speak to swollen bladders, nervous bladders, leaking bladders. And I say, be suspended. Work right in the name of Jesus. I speak to prostate trouble. I say, be gone, prostate trouble, in the name of Jesus. I say, work, line up with the Word of God in Jesus' name. I speak to prostate cancer. I speak to cancer in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the demon of cancer, of the colon, cancer of the breast, cancer of the cervix, cancer. I bind cancer in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak to the demons of cancer and I say, come out in Jesus' name. All cancer, come out. Come out, cancer. In the name of Jesus, I break the curse of cancer over families in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak to diabetes in the name of Jesus. And I bind it in Jesus' name. I speak to arthritis and I say, be gone. I speak to bitterness and I say, be gone in Jesus' name. I speak to... Oh, myalgia in the name of Jesus Christ. Chronic myalgia, chronic fatigue. I bind you, you demons, in the name of Jesus Christ. You turn God's people loose. You turn them loose. I send the hornets from heaven in. I send in all the spirits of fire and destruction to utterly destroy you in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak healing to God's people. I speak healing now to God's people in the name of Jesus. Speak healing now. Healing. Healing. Let your healing flow. Everybody lift up their hands now. Let the healing flow of Spirit flow into you. Oh, God, let your healing come down, Lord. Let your healing come down, Lord. I thank you for it. Drive out that that's not of you, Lord God. Drive out the haughty spirits, the prideful spirits, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Blow out the legalism, the legalistic spirits, in the name of Jesus Christ. Let your Spirit flow through your people, Lord. Let your Spirit flow, river flow down to your people, Lord. More of your Spirit, Lord God. More of your peace, Lord. More of your healing grace, Lord. There's balm in Gilead, Lord. Touch your people now, Lord God. More, Lord God. Hallelujah. Call out to Him. Say, more, Lord God. More, Lord God. More of your peace. More of your joy. More of your healing. More shalom. Shalom. Thank you, Lord. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let your prayers and supplications be made known to God with thanksgiving. In everything, be thankful, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Praise Him. Thank Him. Praise your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.